Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to our program today on Friday, the last day of the week. And by the way, it's also the last day of teaching in a series that's lasted for 2 weeks. And we're coming to the end of that series as well. And so today's a big day for us. We've loved this series. This has just been marvelous. Steps to Revival that Derek has been teaching us. And in the last couple of days, he's been talking about how to live in a world that's falling apart. You know, Derek lived more than 8 decades of life. He lived through a world war. He lived through the birth of Israel. He lived through a season of economic depression in England following the war. He lived through the 1960s. He lived through the charismatic revivals. He lived in Israel when it was under siege towards the end of his life. I mean, he lived a life that was full. And of course, in his even earlier years, he was born in India and then grew up in very troubling years in England. So Derek saw a lot of life, and I sort of feel like he's the wise old man here telling us how to live in a world that's troubled and falling apart, because he has lived through every kind of experience, from wars to depressions to times of national disillusionment. I mean, it's a pretty amazing life, and therefore pretty amazing truths arise from that life. All the more so that in every stage of life, at least since his early 20s, he was trying to engage that season of his life with the gospel as the forefront thing in his life. And so these are the principles we're going to be learning. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us from the Bible and from the wisdom of his life how to live in a world falling apart.
And now let me come to one closing passage, which is primarily for the younger people here. But actually, there's no age limit set to it. It deals partly with the subject of marriage. And I'll read the words, but I want to say first of all, to those of you who are not married, don't be in a hurry to get married. I've seen many young ladies married. I have to be careful what I say because I don't want to identify anybody. But basically, the ones who were eager to get married made a mess of their marriage. And the ones who waited for God's appointment have had successful marriages. Do not be in a hurry to get married. If you are, you really have an idol. Marriage has become an idol that takes the place of Jesus in your life. Now, I am not saying it is wrong to get married. It would be ridiculous for me to say that because I've been married twice. And I'm satisfied. But let me read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 29. And it's remarkable that Paul wrote these about 19 centuries ago, and they are so true today. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. If it was short then, how much shorter is it now? So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep, as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice, as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy, as though they did not possess. And those who use this world and as not misusing it. For the form or the fashion of this world is passing away. In other words, don't hold on to anything as if it were permanent, because it isn't. Live with a sense of impermanence in every material thing that's around you and in every human relationship. And then he goes on to say, verse 32, but I want you to be without care, without anxiety, without worry. He who is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, Paul is not speaking against marriage. He has a lot of good things to say about marriage. What he is saying is don't give marriage a place of wrong importance in your thinking. Don't make it your ambition. Don't go out to find a wife or a husband. I've been married twice, and each time God brought the woman of his choice to me. I never went out looking. And if you read the real romantic stories of the Bible, it's nearly always true. God brought the bride to the bridegroom. He brought Rebekah to Isaac. He brought Ruth to Boaz. Trust God. He can choose much better for you than you can choose for yourself. I've said many times, God never permitted me to choose my own wife. Each time he showed me supernaturally and clearly whom I was to marry. Now, I'm not saying that'll be true of everybody, but I recognize that I myself am rather a poor judge of human character. I deal in the realm of the abstract. I also believe everything people say, and that's a mistake. I'm an honest person myself. I say what I mean, and I assume that other people are saying what they mean, but it isn't always true. So God protected me from myself, and I thank him for it. Each of my marriages has been happy and successful. But don't put marriage before the Lord. Don't put anything before the Lord. Don't hold on to anything in this world as if it were permanent, because it is not. And if you do, and it's taken from you, you'll suffer emotionally, maybe spiritually.
You know, Derek often said that not only in his youth was he a hippie before there were hippies, but he also said that the hippies had a lot of things right about the kingdom of God. And in this teaching, we see evidence of that, don't we? Don't hold on to anything in this world as if it were permanent, because it's not. That's really what that youth generation in the 60s saw, that there's nothing in this world we should cling to, but there are higher things to live for, higher truths, a greater poetry to live out in life. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
What stands between you and your God-given dreams? What hinders you from walking out God's purpose for your life? The world constantly distracts us, taking our focus off of the things of God. But no distraction is greater than God's desire to restore us to a place of peace and purpose. In his classic DVD, The Doorway to Restoration, Derek Prince dissipates the distractions to reveal God's wonderful doorway to a powerful, purpose-filled life. To order your copy of The Doorway to Restoration for only $9.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. You can walk through God's doorway to restoration. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here. We're in the last little portion of teaching on the last day, in the last in this series of tremendous teaching by Derek Prince on steps to revival. He's been talking to us about how to live in a world falling apart. You know, this next principle is perhaps the greatest of all, and it's all about how to be available to the Lord for his will to be done. We are living in dramatic and heroic times, and you need to play your part. Listen to how.
Now I've come to the end of my closing message, but I want to close with a practical application. I want to go back to Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I believe that places an obligation on every sincere Christian to be totally committed in one way or another to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom in all the world. There are many different ways you can be committed, but I want to speak for a moment to people, primarily young people, but not necessarily, who can give their lives to this task. Not necessarily to be missionaries or evangelists. The kingdom of God needs secretaries, administrators, cooks, air pilots, a lot of different people, and each of them is as important as the other. So if God is speaking to you tonight and you feel in a certain sense that you don't really know what life is going to be like, you don't really know what you're living for, you're not really wholeheartedly committed to something that demands your total loyalty, I want to ask you tonight, would you put your life in the Lord's hands and say, "Here I am, Lord. wholly available. There's a song that they sing in the Anglican church we attend in Jerusalem. And the first words of the chorus are, "Here I am, wholly available." I can say that tonight with a clear conscience. Here I am, Lord, wholly available. Whatever you ask, by your grace, I'll do it. And I'm satisfied. I'm fulfilled. I've lived my life that way, and it works. So if there are those of you here tonight that have never really made that commitment, here I am, wholly available. No matter what you ask, send me to China. Send me to Indonesia. Join me to Don Double and his team. Or also lots of other things, like if a nurse is needed somewhere, a secretary is needed somewhere, if a gardener is needed somewhere. Amen. Ruth and I received a letter from a man who said he's a gardener and he wants to garden for the Lord. He's making himself available to anybody who needs a gardener for God's kingdom. So whoever you are and whatever you're doing, if tonight you want the fulfillment of living according to Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I want you to make a decision. And if you make that decision, I want you to stand right where you are in your place, saying tonight, "Here I am, wholly available." There's no age limits, but I want to say if you are one of a married couple, you should not make the commitment apart from your spouse. Nothing would delight me more than to see married couples together committing themselves. Praise God, I've seen one. All right, now this is a very, very serious moment. There's never going to be a more significant moment in your life. And I want to ask you to do something which I haven't asked on previous nights. I want you to come forward and kneel at the front, quickly. And the rest of you, will you be praying? Will you be praying? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those of you that are us blocked up in the aisle there, you better kneel in the aisle. I never anticipated anything like this response. I hope I've made it difficult enough. I hope I haven't given you a wrong impression. It's going to be easy. It's not. You're going to have a lot of opposition. The devil's going to fight you from the moment you walk out of this meeting. He's going to start to attack your commitment. Is that right?
Yep. Amen.
Brothers and sisters that have been in this way, you're going to be a target, as you've never been before, for Satan's arrows. Now I want the musicians to be ready to come. I wish you knew, "Here I am, wholly available." Do you know that? You know it. That is just wonderful. Tears come to my eyes every time I sing those words. Now, you that are at the front, I want you to say a very simple prayer after me. Not praying to me, praying to the Lord Jesus. Would you say these words? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you died for me on the cross, that I might be saved from hell and have eternal life. And because of what you've done for me, Lord, I give myself back to you without reservation, unconditionally. Here I am, wholly available. Take me, Lord, and make me what you want me to be. For your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, the potential to have a successful life in the midst of crisis is only possible if we truly will seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, and all these things then will be added to us. It's an exciting time to be alive. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Coming up, I'm going to have joining me in the studio Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries, and also David Holland, one of our producers. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Most believers know that fasting is beneficial and can make fresh spiritual power available in times of need. But very few know why. Here's good news. Derek Prince, widely known for his deep insights on the power and practice of fasting, reveals those insights in his powerful little book, How to Fast Successfully. Inside, you'll discover the spiritual truths behind the why, when, and how of fasting. And you'll find practical instruction for releasing the power of fasting in your own life. Call now to receive your copy of How to Fast Successfully, absolutely free. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the book are both free. Through fasting, you'll hear God's voice more clearly, be more effective in prayer, and see breakthroughs in hard-to-overcome habits. Call now to get your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here on this Friday as we bring to an end a marvelous two-week series on revival, the steps to revival, where Derek Prince has taught us about many of the preconditions and the fruits of revival. It has been a powerful time. And joining me in the studio today to sort of process and apply these massive truths is Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, great to have you with us.
Stephen, good to see you.
And also David Holland, who's one of the producers of the show. Dave, great to have you here as well.
Hi, thanks.
Guys, let me throw you a hot potato. Why don't we see more revival in the church? Dick?
Well, thanks, Stephen, for lobbing a softball at me.
Come on. We're looking for great spiritual truths from you here.
Well, I don't want to be critical towards the church. I would tend to take it to a personal level. I think most of what we're seeing in our own lives, there's a complacency, there's a lethargy that we've settled into. And when that happens, I think it becomes almost like what the prophet talks about. It's fallow ground. And, you know, in some of the minor prophets, you hear the prophet saying, break up that fallow ground, you know, do something, get something going. I love Derek's teaching. Often you hear him refer to in his teaching about his little grandson who was thrown into a swimming pool, and he came out and he said, do something, somebody, you know. I think that's really where we stand right now. We need to do something. We need to take action. It's a time to take action.
Dave, same question. Why don't we see more revival? I mean, I don't want to be critical of the church, but I do want us to address a bit the whole lack of revival in the world today, especially given the prayer movements we have and the great big amphitheaters filled with people in America.
Sure. Well, and I think it's interesting that you should say the world, because I think it feels different in different parts of the world. And we're living in the United States, and it's very easy to think that everything in the world is like it is here, and you get to travel all over the world, and Dick as well traveled as well. And so you guys see and feel and sense the body of Christ in different parts of the world. And we're living in a place that is unlike any other place on the planet.
That's right.
At any other time in history. We're living in a place that has unprecedented levels of comfort, levels of luxury, media saturation, stimulation, distraction, really unseen and unknown in the history of the world. And I think that's why here in the United States, it's very easy, even for the body of Christ, to be very self-absorbed, to be very comfort-driven. And that's why I've been so challenged by what Derek has been sharing over the last days, is that revival requires an outward focus. It requires a denial of self, a death to self, to spend time in prayer, to fast, to be concerned about other people and their spiritual welfare and the well-being of your culture, and a culture that is seeped and saturated in self-absorption and the quest for comfort is antithetical to those things that Derek has told us are precursors for revival.
Exactly, and therefore they're not desperate. You know, I've been thinking about the things that could make me desperate. Now, obviously, God could take everything from me and leave me on the street, but that's not normally what God does. But the thing, it's something that could make me desperate is simply knowing about revival's past and saying, God, renew that in our time. You know, do that in my generation. Another thing that can make me desperate for God is and desperate for revival is knowing about the revivals in other parts of the world. I mean, there are amazing things happening in the underground church and in China and other parts of the world. And so I've been trying to think about what are the things that make me desperate? How do I cultivate a spirit of desperation? You guys have any insights on that? I mean, how do you maintain a cutting edge desperation for God, especially a desperation for the nation in the way that we called people to a cry of desperation here just a few days ago?
Yeah, I'd love to hear what Dick has to say about that. And just to add to that, I, I've read once, I read a gentleman who said that he had observed that the determinative factor of God moving in any individual's life or any people's lives was spiritual hunger. And I think that's going to what you were talking about in terms of what Derek has talked about in regards to spiritual desperation. Spiritual hunger really is a precursor, isn't it, Dick?
I think it is. And I think there's also a very, very serious need to recognize the times that we're in. You read the passage of Scripture where it talks about the sons of Issachar. It says they knew the times and knew what Israel was to do. We've got to look at the time that we're in. I get the question a lot from people, you know, why isn't the Lord doing this? Why is he delaying? And it reminds me of the scripture back in 2 Peter where, Peter says, the Lord's not slow concerning his promises, some would count slowness, but he's patient. He's got a plan here. But I think it's incumbent upon us as his people, and especially the leaders of the church, to look at that and say, Lord, what are you up to here, and how can we participate with you? You know, Henry Blackaby, the great author of Experiencing God, said what we need to do is see where God is at work and join him in that work. We've got to be discerning in these days, Stephen.
If you're just joining us, I have with me in the studio here Dick Leggett, who's the president of Derek Prince Ministries, and also David Holland, who's one of the producers of the show, a good friend of mine. And we're processing the 2-week-long series that Derek Prince has done here on this program on revival and on living in a difficult world and the signs of revival and all of those types of things. You know, one of the things, guys, that I am struck by, I love to read the New Testament and make reference to the Greek. And one of the things I'm struck by is something I referred to earlier this week. And that is that of the two builders, in that parable of the two builders and the two soils, some people call it, the Greek indicates that it wasn't as though one guy built on rock in one place and then another guy built in another place on sand. They both built in the same place, but the guy who built on rock dug down beneath the surface of the sand and found bedrock beneath the sand. That's not something that comes out in the English.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So they're both building in the same place, but one digs deep and one doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, just in a few minutes, just maybe in 30 seconds, can you help me understand how do we dig deep in this generation and get beyond the surface level of stuff that tends to disorient us and keep us from that focus on God? Dave?
I think Dick's got it on this
one. All right, go for it.
I was just going to say, the old revivalists used to talk about the prior work, doing the prior work, digging up that foundation. I think there are many ways to do that. One is fasting, prayer, you know, really getting serious about seeking God.
You know, Dick, it's interesting you should say that because we have a resource we want to make available to everyone absolutely free. A really extraordinary book by Derek called How to Fast Successfully. We've seen the need that to get one's focus off of oneself is really, really a key to praying for revival, to seeing God move in any number of ways. And Derek created this really awesome book called How to Fast Successfully, in which he answers almost every question you could ever have about how to conduct a successful fast and why you should do so. And we're happy to make it as our free gift to you. All you have to do is call or click. Let us know you want to receive it. We'd love to get it out to you as our gift to you, as to sow some additional ministry and some life and truth into your life. Just simply go online at derekprince.org and let us know you want to receive it. Or you can give us a call at 800-448-3261 and it'll be our pleasure to get it right out to you.
Guys, great having you both with me today.
Good to be with you, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks.
And that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again on Monday as The Legacy Continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's classic DVD, Doorway to Restoration, for only $9.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to ask about your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. It's our gift to you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.